Hello, this is the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday the 11th of May 2012. The extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle this week have been edited by David and Janet Farthing. Your readers today are Michael Wyard.
Hello.
Deborah Cranmer.
Hello.
And Peter Lydiard.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Tom Williams. Now, this week's announcements, and we begin with several events that are going on in and around Winchester. The current exhibition of the works of Jane Byrne at the Winchester Discovery Centre continues until the 20th of May. And an exhibition entitled Reflect is being shown in Winchester Cathedral until the 21st of June. In this exhibition, the artists have used the cathedral to inspire new sculptures, and normal cathedral entry charges apply for that. On Tuesday the 15th of May at 7 p.m, Lyra Concert is at St John's Church, St John's Street, Winchester, at 7 p.m. This is a singing group from St Petersburg. Tickets are £15 and will be available on the door or from the Theatre Royal box office on 01962 840 440. That's 01962 840 440. Also on Tuesday the 15th of May at 7:45 p.m, there's an organ recital by Simon Bell at Winchester Cathedral. The admission cost is £8 and includes the programme and a glass of wine. On Wednesday the 16th of May, at the Church of St Lawrence in the Square, from 12:30 to 1 p.m, there is a talk by Keith James entitled Space in the City. Entry to that is free. And on stage at the Theatre Royal Winchester from the 23rd to the 26th of May, the Chesil Theatre Company presents Sheridan's The Rivals at 7:30 each evening, with a matinee at 2:30 on Saturday the 26th of May. Box office for the Theatre Royal is 01962 840 440. That's 01962 840 440. And at the Mayflower Theatre, Southampton, Oliver, starring Brian Codney, continues until the 26th of May. The Mayflower box office is 02380 711 811. That's 02380 711 811. Finally, on screen at the Everyman Cinema next week, you can see Dark Shadows, Salmon Fishers in the Yemen, and Albert Nobbs. Bookings for the Everyman Cinema can be made on 0871 906 9060. That's 0871 906 9060. Lighting Up Time ends on Friday the 11th of May at 2012 at 5:22 a.m. and begins at 8:43 p.m. On Wednesday the 16th of May 2012, it ends at 5:14 a.m. and begins at 8:52 p.m. The main headlines this week are 101-bed hotel plan for city, county needs 9,000 new school places, and 3,000-mile cycle ride using just his hands. So may we now have the story behind the first headline, please, Michael.
101-bed hotel plan for city. £10 million scheme would ease tourist bed shortage and create 55 jobs, says the headline. Winchester could be getting a new £10 million hotel to help address what's seen as a lack of beds in the city, the Hampshire Chronicle can reveal. Premier Inn wants to build the 101-bed hotel next to the city's new fire station site. It would create 55 jobs. Business chiefs have welcomed the move, but concerns have been raised about traffic and parking. Councillor Chris Pines, who represents the area, also said most of the jobs would be unskilled and possibly seasonal. My message to the developers would be to go away and think again, he said. The proposed site stands at the corner of Whinnell Manor Road and Eastern Lane. Councillor Pine said traffic at the junction was heavy and parking in the area was in short supply. He added that staff at many nearby employers, such as the Royal Mail Sorting Office, already had to park on the Whinnell Estate and walk the rest of the way. Stuart Deering, director of Reef Estates, which has made the application on Premier Inn's behalf, said it would provide 87 spaces at the hotel. He added that it should not add to queues entering Winchester in the morning or leaving in the evening, as their guests would be going the other way. He said the proposal provides an excellent opportunity for long-term economic stimulus that will initially create approximately 55 new jobs. Short-term economic benefits include nearly £10 million invested by Reef and Premier Inn at the site and to develop the hotel. The site is valued at £1.5 million and is on the market with Charters Commercial Estate Agents in Winchester. Charters Director Joe Harvey said it has now been sold pending planning approval. It's quite rare that a site of this size comes up in Winchester, he added. The plot is currently occupied by Caledonia House, a warehouse built around 20 years ago with car parking. The current owner is furniture company Finishing Touches International. The Chronicle tried to contact the firm, but was unable to obtain a comment before going to press. Winchester Business Improvement District, BID, which acts on behalf of around 800 firms in the city centre, has welcomed the new hotel plan. Its marketing manager, Amy McCartan, said, "We welcome any new accommodation providers into the city as there is a real demand for space with the increase of tourism over the past few years. We would hope that the hotel complements other accommodation providers in and around the city. I look forward to hearing future plans for this project." With 101 rooms, the new hotel would be one of the largest in the Winchester district. It comes after Holiday Inn opened the first of its new generation hotels on the city's outskirts at Maughan Hill 2 years ago. It has 141 rooms, while Norton Park Hotel at Sutton Scotney boasts 175. Plans have previously been outlined to build a hotel on the Chesil Street surface car park. The power to approve the Premier Inn scheme rests with Winchester City Council. It is expected to make the decision within the next few weeks.
County needs 9,000 new school places. Hampshire needs an extra 9,000 school places by 2016, county education chiefs have warned, and the equivalent of 20 new primary schools will be required at an extra total cost of £200 million. Winchester City is one of the areas facing a squeeze on places, fuelled by a rising birth rate, house building and families moving to the area. Other hotspots include Chandler's Ford and Basingstoke. Ministers have handed the County Council £31 million to ease the pressure on places. Speaking at a public meeting in the Westgate School in Winchester on Tuesday, Councillor Roy Perry, Executive Member for Children's Services, said the local authority was grateful for the grant, but it still left a big gap. Hampshire County Council has added £30 million from its funds and is seeking contributions from housing developers to help plug the gap. In contrast, the Conservative-controlled County Council spent £40 million revamping its Winchester headquarters. The local authority is consulting on plans to tackle the shortage by either building a £10 million two-form entry primary school on the site of Rotherley Boarding House at the Westgate School, or permanent expansion of five primary schools at a cost of £11 million. Under option A, the Westgate would become the first county-run school for pupils aged 4 to 16. Doors would open to the first reception pupils in 2014. Schools earmarked for continued expansion under option B are Weston in Full Flood, Winnell, All Saints in Highcliffe, Hairstock, and St Peter's Catholic in Oliver's Battery. Children are to be taught in temporary classrooms at these schools to provide an extra 74 reception places in September 2012 and 13. About 70 people attended the public meeting chaired by Councillor Perry, with a line-up of senior officers, including John Coolan, Director of Children's Services. Several parents raised concerns about four-year-olds mixing with 16-year-olds under the combined school option, while others were worried about the impact on Weston if a new primary is built on its doorstep. A second public meeting on plans to increase the number of school places will be held on Tuesday, May the 15th at Ashburton Court at the Castle, Winchester, starting at 7:30 in the evening.
3,000-mile cycle ride using just his hands. Amputee to raise funds for Help the Heroes. A soldier who lost both legs after stepping on a bomb while on patrol in Afghanistan 3 years ago is taking on not one, but two of the world's toughest challenges. Simon Harmer, 36, from Kingsworthy, will use just his arms and hands to prove that there is life after injury. He said, "When something turns your life around, you have just got to pick yourself up and get back on with life. You could wallow in self-pity, but I made my mind up, and I wasn't going to. I have not let anything stop me, and I'm really looking forward to these challenges. You can do anything you set your mind to." In June, the Bosnia and Iraq war veteran will join seven other wounded service personnel to compete in one of the toughest cycling challenges of a 3,051-mile route across 12 states of America, further than the Tour de France. In an inspirational effort, riding a specially adapted bike, he will push his strength to the limit in the epic Race Across America. The Battle Back team hopes to raise £100,000 when they scale heights of more than 100,000 feet along the agonising route in just 8 days. Then, less than a month later, the father of one will compete in the Ironman UK challenge. Mr. Harmer speaking from Headley Court in Surrey, where he is continuing his rehabilitation, said the event includes a 2.4-mile swim, an 11-mile bike ride, and a 26.2-mile run, which he will compete on a racing wheelchair. He will complete both fundraising events for Help the Heroes, which has supported him since he was involved in the blast so severe that he lost his left leg above the knee and his right leg below the knee and broke his right arm. He was injured just 3 months after marrying his wife, Marissa. He added, "You do this to make your family proud and to help the charity. Their support has been second to none. But now we're raising money for the guys coming back now who have been injured. We're putting money back in the pot. I know if the charity wasn't there for me, life would be an awful lot harder."
That concludes the headlines, and now we continue with the obituary notices. The following deaths have been announced. Brooks, Elizabeth Brooks, peacefully aged 88. Caulfield, Nancy Doris Caulfield, peacefully at Royal Hampshire County Hospital, aged 81. Dermody, Elizabeth Dermody, peacefully at West Home Care Home, aged 100. Donnan, Clifford Samuel Donnan, peacefully at home, aged 80. Anan, Fred Anan, aged 64. Hum, Pat Hum, peacefully in her sleep, aged 91. Rugeley, Agnes Rugeley, peacefully at Englefield House, Totten, aged 102, and Simon, Anthony Simon, aged 89. Christian comment this week is read by Deborah. Thank you, Deborah.
Oh, to be happy as Larry, and it's written by Terry E. Hemmings. Many people visit old Larry saying, I'll cheer him up. But when they leave him wreathed in smiles, you know their real reason for visiting Larry was to be cheered up themselves. So wrote Roger Scruton in the News from Somewhere about a farm worker who'd been wheelchair-bound since an accident 35 years before. Perhaps you know someone like that. You visit them and they seem not merely to be coping, but triumphant in adversity. Often they ask after your own minor problems and make them seem so important. You leave wondering at the human spirit. It's not always like that. Others can be very bitter and complain about how cruel life is, and to visit them is to hear a liturgy of how unjust the world is, particularly towards them. It raises that great question as to why the world is not how we would wish it to be. There is no simple answer to this. Jesus rebuked those who tried to explain disasters by the moral inadequacies of the victims, and the book of Job is one of the greatest poetic works on the limits of human understanding. Yet the point of visiting people like Larry is not to come away intellectually satisfied, but to come away uplifted. How is that possible? Perhaps a visit to the parts of the Bible which talk of God pruning the vines or chastising his children might help. In moments of despair, children may feel that their parents hate them when they correct them or don't give them all they ask. But wise ones recognise that love may be behind a refusal, as well as a yes. The scalpel of a surgeon may be as painful as the bayonet of a soldier, but one is meant to heal and the other to kill. The wisdom of people like Larry is to recognise that God, or the universe, is not out to get them and inflict suffering all the time, but to see goodness. It may be seen in the creation when one has time to look out of the window at the birds and the plants. It may be seen in the care of those in the healing professions or the visits of family and friends. It says joy is not limited to those who have everything, but is part of human experience in all circumstances. I recall seeing that in refugee camps of Africa, where celebrations by those who seem to have lost everything were a lot more demonstrative than those in the West satiated by all its consumer goods and comforts. Those of us who visit will testify that, like Larry's visitors, we frequently come away energised and grateful. Try it.
Now we move on to Letters to the Editor, and the first letter is read by Peter. Thank you, Peter.
Yes, it's a letter headed It's a Cat's Life, and it's from Rachel O'Farrell and Susie Hayes. Sir, read the letters about the legendary train-spotting cat. We call him Larry, and he's a regular visitor to the dental surgery near the station where we work. As well as train-spotting, he might also be partial to a spot of motorbiking. He's regularly seen sitting on our colleague's motorbike, purring to go. Maybe he dreams of cruising along, feeling the wind in his fur. It's a cat's life. Meow. And that's from Rachel O'Farrell and Susie Hayes, St Cuthbert's Dental Surgery, Newburgh Street, Winchester.
This letter comes from Roger Barton, who lives in Forest Gardens, Waltham Chase, and it's entitled Low Turnout Was No Surprise to Me. Sir, I'm not surprised that only 30% of voters turned out to vote last Thursday, May the 3rd, in the City Council elections, if my experience in the Shedfield ward is repeated round the country. First problem, trying to find out who's standing. There being a total lack of posters in our area, no information in the parish magazine, and none I could find in the Hampshire Chronicle of April the 26th. However, I did discover the names of the on the parish notice board. I emailed Winchester to find out something about two of the new candidates. I couldn't even find their names. But as a result of a rather tetchy email from me, which, to their credit, was replied to within 5 minutes, I did discover their names, but no more information. I give the Conservatives and Liberal candidates 0 out of 10 for communication, and voted for the only candidate who sought my support and had the politeness to canvass me, and I have never voted for that party before in my life. Friends in another ward refused to vote due to lack of information. If the main parties want Joe Public to engage more with politics, they must talk to us so we have something to discuss before we commit our votes. And that's Roger Barton. There is a footnote here which says, from the Chronicle, there was a page lead on the elections on April the 19th, and that's the letter's editor saying that for our information.
The next letter is from James McGrand of Berwick Road, Winchester, bucking the trend. Sir, I was mildly surprised the Winchester Conservatives scored a victory in the local elections against the national trend. As a congenital Tory, I was annoyed a council Conservative whip, despite people's worries about partisanship, had ensured a positive vote towards development of Barton Farm. I had assumed most people would be against this. So against my instinct, I voted for the Liberal Democrats. Shall I bother to vote again? I don't know. But those who voted Conservative will, presumably, be happy with another 2,000 or so houses along the Andover Road, and devil take the consequences. James McGrand, Berwick Road, Winchester.
And another letter about the election. This is entitled Negative Approach to an Insult to Voters, and it's from Peter Hargreaves. Sir, after long being involved in local elections in various parts of the UK and having served as an urban, district and metropolitan councillor for 15 years, I found the city council elections in Winchester on May the 3rd to be the most lacklustre I have ever witnessed. Were it not for the polling card and a few pre-election leaflets shoved through the letterbox, it would have been difficult to know an election was taking place. No wonder turnouts keep falling. Council elections are important, but the political parties in Winchester seem to treat the whole process with contempt and appeared to believe the voters would turn out to vote for them no matter how little effort they put into their campaigns. To win a local election, candidates need to show they are active throughout the year and not just a few weeks beforehand. One party, which usually erects large election posters in my ward, only erected 2, and only the day before the election, while another party has posted 4 different candidates in the last 4 years. In my ward, the Labour candidate didn't even provide a leaflet. The Winchester electorate deserves better than this. The political party's negative approach to council elections is an insult to those electors who did take the trouble to vote. And that's from Peter Hargreaves, Worthy Lane, Winchester.
This letter comes from Meredith Cooper-Smith, who lives in Brassey Road, Winchester, and it's headed, Banning Books is So Old-Fashioned. Sir, while having coffee in the Discovery Centre recently, I overheard from a couple at a table behind me that Winchester author Michael Russell's latest novel, Tailspin, had been banned. The conversation continued to the effect that the author had given the library 2 copies 2 months ago in gratitude for the help he had received in research for it. When I got home, I went to my PC and first checked the library catalogue, and the novel was not there. I then went into the search engine and found that it was available as an audiobook to download on an MP3 and other players, plus it was also on Kindle and other e-books. It does seem old-fashioned in the 21st century that a novel can be banned, as the last ones I remember to have that stigma attached were Fanny Hill, Lady Chatterley's Lover, and the 1928 lesbian one, Well of Loneliness. This letter comes, as I said, from Meredith Coopersmith, Brassy Road, Winchester.
A letter from Rodney Skinner of Town Close, Ropley, and it's referring to an item in the Chronicle of May the 3rd, pensioners ordered to rehouse scooters. Sir, elf and safety gone mad. Shoot the elf, indeed. I used to be the postman for Ellingham Close some years ago. The same happened when wheelchairs were parked under the stairs. You might fall over them, was the excuse then. I had no trouble delivering, except when the clocks changed and the time switches didn't work on the doors. I would like to see the evidence that Mr. Evans has for scooters catching fire. How many scooters are in the country, and how many have caught fire? Yes, one is too many, but come on, the chances are so slim. It's no good in saying it's a risk, because life is a risk, and there is more chance of me being hit by a car than a scooter catching fire. Come into the real world, do. Rodney Skinner, Town Close, Ropley.
Our postbox has gone AWOL. Sir, we too have had our postbox removed from Ashton Corner, Bishop's Waltham, Chronicle Letters, April the 26th and May the 3rd. Rumour had it that it was stolen last Sunday, after I had posted our ballot papers in this box. The theft was confirmed by our local post offices, but Royal Mail could or would not tell me if the box had been removed by them or had been stolen. They passed my complaint on to their collection manager and assured me that he would contact me or Royal Mail within 72 hours with an answer. They did not. Contacted the police, but they have had no reports of the box being stolen. When told of the reports from our post offices confirming the theft, they replied that as it had not been reported by Royal Mail, they could not act on it. Now we have a nice new box on a metal post, but I still do not know whether our ballot papers were stolen or delivered. Incidentally, I did notice you can get an identical box on eBay for £195. Much better than scrap value. That is from J.P. MacWood, Wintershill, Durley.
This letter comes from R.G. Coombs of Quarry Road, Winchester, and it's entitled Set in Stone. It's accompanied by a photograph of what looks like a flint wall, and if you peer at it very gently and carefully, you can see a face appearing out of it. Sir, thank you to Mr. Cannell of Cape Coral, Florida, for making this item international and identifying Steve Dominey as the quiet artist behind some of the Winchester flint faces. I had the pleasure of meeting Steve at the Queen Public House one evening, and he spoke of a number of faces he had formed, some in the more prominent city locations. He congratulated the Mead Road face maker for producing one of the best, and I enclose a photograph of Bart Simpson residing in Romsey Road. Many thanks for the interest shown, and to Steve for sparing the time to chat. R.G. Combs, Quarry Road, Winchester.
Why can't posties close garden gates, says R. Jacobs of Winchester. Sir, I try to live by the treat others as you wish to be treated yourself rule. Do things for them, and often they will do things for you. It's maybe a simple philosophy, but courtesy to others never hurt anybody. I've undertaken a few jobs in my time, all requiring me to call at people's homes. I've even worked for Royal Mail. And one thing I was taught was that if you opened a gate, you'd close the gate. If the gate was open, do as you like. To this day, that's still something that I do, and I now wonder why Royal Mail don't close gates anymore. Every day that Royal Mail delivers to my house, they open the gate and they leave it open. Sometimes they even come in through my gate and, leaving it open, hop over the fence into next door's and leave theirs open too. Now, it's not as if we have the same guy every day. More likely three during the course of the week, and not usually the same three every week. So for all of these postmen to leave all of these gates open, is it company policy these days to not be bothered? Furthermore, where does responsibility lie when your dog strays from your garden because the said gate has been left open? R. Jacobs, Winchester.
Now, looking back to the past, we begin with news from 200 years ago. Thank you, Peter.
200 years ago was 1812. Mr. Webb of Gosport, missing sundry articles, particularly bacon, from his cellar, and suspecting his premises must be entered at night, on Wednesday last, determined to ascertain the fact. He placed himself in the shop without a light, and about 11 the depredators arrived. Mr. W. suffered one to enter and remove a flitch of bacon without interruption, and observed the other by the door, waiting the plunder. The one in the cellar was easily secured, but the other escaped. In the court of King's Bench on Monday, the Attorney General moved for the judgment on Henry Heatraff, convicted at our last assizes of aiding and assisting three French prisoners to escape from Bishop's Waltham to France. Defendant, who is a butcher in the vicinity of Gosport, had carried on this infamous and pernicious traffic to great extent, hiring post chases and procuring boats to carry prisoners to the opposite coast.
100 years ago, 1912. Southampton Rambling Club held their first outdoor meeting of the season on Saturday, when, by the kindness of Mr. R. W. Hooley, F.G.S., they met at his residence, Earl's Croft, St. Giles Hill, where he gave them an address on the geological formation of the Itchen Valley, in which Winchester lies. Mr. Hooley, as one of the most learned geologists, imparting his knowledge in picturesque language, vividly reconstructing in the imagination the spectacle that was presented when the world was very young. The 23rd anniversary of the Primitive Methodist Orphanage at Old Alsford is to be held next Wednesday, commencing with luncheon at 1 p.m. on the lawn, followed by an inspection of the home and march past by the children at 1:45 p.m. A public meeting will be held in a tent in the playfield at 2:15 p.m. when Joseph Butt, Esquire, will preside.
1962, 50 years ago, when Winchester City Council discussed the reviewed Winchester town map on Tuesday, one small facet occupied the major part of the debate. A reference that suggested high-density residential development of 34 acres of land at Abbott's Barton aroused heated protests and was the subject of a petition signed by 68 people. A density of 25 dwellings to the acre was mentioned. A motion of formal objection to this was defeated by 12 votes to 5. New machinery installed by the Hampshire Chronicle enables the newspaper to publish beyond 16 pages for the first time. 16 pages will still be the standard, rising to 24 as occasion demands. Basis of the new equipment is a Cossa web feed press to run in tandem with the machine that has produced the Chronicle for the past 6 years. It gives the facility to produce a 16-page broadsheet newspaper at a single operation.
25 years ago, 1987. Outline planning permission has been sought to develop a service area at Meon on the M27, northeast of Fareham. But the proposal for facilities on both sides of the motorway, a mile east of Junction 9, near Parkgate, needs clearance first from Winchester City Council. At the moment, the nearest services on the M27 are 16 miles west at Rownhams. Presently, drivers going east along the M27 from the M3 and the A33, or west along the M27 from the M3 and the A3M, would have to leave the motorway to find services. Chief Constable John Duke calls the rising tide in drink driver offences very worrying. It has seen a 25% more drivers being convicted than in 1985. During the intensive Christmas campaign, 144 drivers were arrested. Perhaps the most worrying aspect was that on Christmas Eve, Boxing Day and New Year's Eve, the numbers arrested were almost double those on the equivalent days, he said.
Hampshire Chronicle comment this week is read by Michael and will be followed by First Person read by Peter. Thank you, Michael.
It's called Setting Amazing Examples to Us All. Week in, week out, this newspaper is proud to tell the stories of countless fundraisers who make such a difference to our community. But there are two this week that particularly catch the eye. Firstly, Simon Harmer, the 36-year-old Kingsworthy soldier who lost both legs in an explosion in Afghanistan 3 years ago, is undertaking a gruelling 3,000-mile cycle ride using just his hands in aid of Help for Heroes. In an inspirational effort, riding a specially adapted bike, he will push his strength to the limit in the epic race across America. Nothing sums up his bravery better than this. You could wallow in self-pity, but I made up my mind, and I wasn't going to. I've not let anything stop me, and I'm really looking forward to the challenge. You can do anything you set your mind to, he said. Elsewhere in this week's paper, 12-year-old Scott Gilmore, along with fellow parishioners from a Winchester church, will embark upon the Three Peaks Challenge for friend Nick Damon, who attends King's School in Winchester and suffers from the rare Barth syndrome. Mark said of Nick, "I admire him. He's such an amazing example for me. He's climbed mental mountains, and I want to do something physical for him." Both Mark and Simon Harmer set us all amazing examples.
First Person this week is written by Rosemary McMullen, and it's titled Music and Memories. Cilla Black popped up on This Morning recently and brought a flood of memories with her. There once was a wicked take-off of our Cilla, who tended to wave her arms around by a guy with false arms which lengthened with each gesture in Anyone Who Had a Heart. That was all I could think of when my mother criticised the long, pointed sleeves of my wedding dress, a put-down I'm reminded of whenever I hear that song. As a child, I was horribly embarrassed when hearing my name issued out on the radio. My mother had requested Sweet Rosie O'Grady for her own Sweet Rosie. But rather than skipping with delight, I burst into tears and hid behind the sofa. I was happy when she played Ravel's Bolero, however. Dressed in a Spanish tiered dress with high comb and mantilla, I clicked my castanets and brandished my fan in a way Torvald and Dean might have admired. Growing up, the party music I remember best was Let's Twist Again, and we must have looked like crazy chickens jerking our limbs and heads around. My sister and I used to starch our petticoats with sugar and wore wide, shiny belts to emphasise our waists. We let our pony-tailed hair down and got swept away by the rhythm of 50s and 60s pop music. Oh, happy days. When I married and had my own little dancing queen, ABBA became the music of choice. And being lucky enough to spend her early years at home being a mum, I spent many a morning moving and grooving. I don't know which of us had the most fun, but it's a mother and daughter memory I cherish. Of course, it's not only happy times that music brings back, and I've always found Cher an ideal accompaniment to a broken heart. No one could moan "Love Hurts" so melodiously, or bring pleasurable tears of self-pity with "If I Could Turn Back Time." Though Barbara Dixon came close with "Answer Me and Tell Me It's Not True." Those feisty women raised my spirits with their more upbeat numbers, and Caravan, in particular, became a favourite when I was finding my feet as a second-time singleton. Moving out into the sun, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going. Driving my little Mini just anywhere to escape the loneliness of my flat, I sang along with Barbara and felt better. It was like returning to teenage years when those singers expressed my feelings perfectly. I've appreciated the classics and relished the power of opera as I got older, but there's one piece I find unbearably moving, and it is one I choose if I were conscious but close to death. I'm sure my soul would be transported to heaven by Jesse Norman's soaring voice singing Four Last Songs by Strauss. It's the closest to the Song of Angels I can imagine.
Now we move on to items of general news, and the first item is read by Deborah. Thank you, Deborah.
And this article is surrounded by photographs of lots of very jolly children flinging their arms about and having lots of fun. It looked like it might be a washout, but the clouds parted just in time for Cheriton Village fete. Come rain or shine, organisers were determined to push ahead, as the old rectory in the village provided the scenic backdrop for the event, with a host of attractions in the pretty gardens. More than 600 people poured in through the gates on Bank Holiday Monday, and organiser Penny Scott said, "We were going to go ahead even if it rained, because people know that even if the weather is bad, the fete in Cheriton will still take place." She added that new attractions for 2012 included a human fruit machine and also the water or wine stall. The latter was being manned by Tim Butcher from Cheriton. Several bottles were wrapped in paper on the stall, and for a £2 stake, visitors could either walk off with a bottle of wine or tap water. Amongst the villagers enjoying the fete were Sarah Gill and Ben Grantham, along with Rebecca Scallon. She said, "Some of the things on the jewellery stall are lovely, and we've also won a bottle of port as well." Other attractions included face painting, welly throwing, cream teas, Splat the Rat, bowling, tombola, music and a raffle. There were also stalls teeming with books, cakes, plants, toys and bric-a-brac, and a challenge to hit tennis balls into barrels and buckets. At the end of the afternoon, prizes were awarded by Bob Barrett, who plays Dr. Sasha Levy in Holby City. And the fete raised about £5,000, which organisers said would go towards the village's church funds. And amongst the photographs are Daisy and Poppy having an ice cream with their father, David Hill, and some face-painted faces, which are the Brown children. And finally, Isabella Alexander, Emily Joy and Charlotte Joy, all taking place in the welly-wanging contest.
These are two short items, actually, about the local elections. The first one is Council Homes' top priority for new leader. New leader of Winchester City Council, Keith Wood, has said that Council House building is one of his main priorities. Speaking hours after the results, he said, "It's up to us now to do things that people want and meet the needs of people. I'm very keen on developing our council house building. We will build 30 this year, but over time it will grow. Over 10 years, I'd like to see 300 to 400. Even with affordable housing, there are a lot of people who cannot afford to live in Winchester, and we need to do something about that. The decision to support the development of 2,000 homes on the Barton Farm, which most Tories backed, will see some 800 homes built for rent to people on the council housing list. The future of the city's main leisure centre will be in the spotlight. We've also got to grasp the nettle of the River Park Leisure Centre sooner or later, Councillor Wood said, adding that the building was becoming increasingly expensive to maintain. Last Thursday also represented a satisfying local swan song for George Beckett, who has stepped down to clear the way to campaign to be the Tory candidate for police commissioner. Having overseen such a good result, he will have done his chances no harm at all of getting the £80,000 a year post. Hampshire Conservatives will be choosing their candidate this summer, with the election scheduled for November. Mr. Beckett said the success, which, to the disquiet of some colleagues, he was confident enough to publicly predict in the Chronicle. I'm very pleased. Locally, our support seems to be growing. I'm delighted that, having stood on our record, the electorate has recognised our achievements. Given the position of our party nationally, I'm pleased, but not surprised. And the second article is headed, Only Two Seats, But It's a Giant Leap for Labour. The decline of Labour in Winchester has been seemingly unstoppable. From a high of six councillors in the 1980s and early 1990s, the numbers have been slipping until they disappeared in 2010. But former Mayor Chris Pines got back last year, and now Janet Berry has doubled its tally of councillors when she won the ward covering the Winnell and Highcliffe estates. Across the six city wards, Labour polled 1,670 votes, some 77% up on the 943 in 2008, the last time these seats were contested. Said Labour leader Mr. Pines, "People on the doorsteps were rejecting both the Tories and Lib Dems. People were grabbing the leaflets out of my hands. In the past, people voted Lib Dem because they weren't Tories. Then, as soon as they went to bed with them in the National Coalition, they realised they didn't want them after all. They wanted a local person, and Janet has lived and worked on the ward for 25 years. Councillor Berry said, "I'm quite excited and looking forward to the challenges that lie ahead. It is brilliant that Labour have a group again. We are a force to be reckoned with." Labour's acute problem had been the unpopularity of the national government of Blair and Brown. The underlying problem in their heartlands was that the traditional working class voters were being squeezed out by the increase in students and homes in multiple occupation. But now they are in a strong position to pick up process votes, with the Lib Dems hampered by being part of the National Coalition.
This piece is headed Blue the Colour as Winchester Bucks the National Trend. Winchester Tories bucked the national trend to take control of the City Council. They were the only Conservative group to win a council in the elections in nearly 200 contests held throughout the United Kingdom last Thursday. They won three seats, Littleton and Hairstock and St Luke from the Liberal Democrats and Bishop's Waltham from the Independents, and lost one. The Lib Dems took Borehunt and Southwark from the Tories, but Labour claimed St John and All Saints from the Lib Dems. After the last result was declared at 2:30 a.m. in the Guildhall on Friday, the Tories held 29 seats, that's up two, compared to 25 for the Lib Dems, down two. Two for Labour, that's up one, and one independent, down one, given an overall majority of one. Turnout was 39% against 54% in 2011. New council leader Keith Wood said, "We are delighted. I hadn't realised the extent the Conservative vote had fallen nationally. The fact it held up here is very encouraging. We must be getting the message across and doing something right. The Lib Dems had been hoping that they would be able to hold on to the 12 seats they were defending out of 19, but with their resources spread thinly, it proved too great a challenge. They would take some comfort in the fact that it could have been worse, with sharp losses in many areas, although Eastleigh also held firm. Lib Dem group leader Kelsey Learney said, "I'm very disappointed at the end result. On the other hand, we won a majority of the seats up for grabs. A handful of votes in our direction could have made all the difference, and we could be the ones celebrating taking control." The Tories will have to elect a new deputy leader, as John Hooper was defeated in Borehunt, Borehunt and Southwick, by the Liberal Dem candidate and well-known local farmer Neil Cutler. A new deputy will be appointed after mayor-making on May the 16th. Labour will be relieved that they are continuing to recapture seats lost when the party was in power nationally between 1997 and 2010. Leader Chris Pine said, "We are absolutely delighted." After celebrating, also celebrating was Martin Todd, the beaten Lib Dem parliamentary candidate in 2010. He won the St Paul ward, covering Full Flood, polling more votes than Conservative and Labour combined. It was the first time he had won election to public office and will end the domestic mickey-taking, as his wife, Michaela, was also a district councillor in Newbury, Mr Todd said. "And I'm thrilled," he said, "really pleased." There were several tight contests, notably in St Luke, where Derek Green, chairman and chief fundraiser for the Winchester branch of the Royal British Legion, won by 43 votes, and St Barnabas, where Anne Weir scraped home by 48. The turnout was unusually low. Often in Winchester it can touch 60%, but last Thursday many turnouts were down in the 30%, including Bishop's Waltham, 31.3%, Shedfield, 33.3%, St John and All Saints, 32.6%, St Luke, 32.2%, St Michael, 35.8%, St Paul, 34.2%, Whiteley, 31.1%, Wickham, 38.3%, and Wanston and Mitchell Dever, 37.5%. The highest turnout was Borehunt and Southwick at 52.3%. Compton and Otterbourne was 48%, and where there were genuine contests, the electorate responded. In Denmead, safest of safe seats for the Tories, the turnout was only 29.9%. Mr Todd said, "People are still feeling disillusioned with all parties to a degree. The other factor is that it was tipping with rain. People weren't coming out." There was no joy for former Lib Dem turned Conservative councillors Anne Jones and Alexis Fail. City MP Steve Brine said, "This was a stunning set of results and testament to the extremely hard work of truly dedicated community champions across the city. The breed of councillor that is emerging is willing to take on the powers that be and really stick up for local residents. As the MP, I am always delighted to join up and add my weight to the campaigns which can seem so little from the outside, but which means so much in one ward, one area and one street." And the video of this election count can be seen on Chronicle website.
I've got some photographs here of some extremely wet runners and a cyclist absolutely covered in mud spray. And beside them is former TV presenter Dickie Davis, hunched up under the hood of his anorak, and he's getting ready to sound the starting horn. The article is entitled "Mudlarks Raise Funds for Church." The British bulldog spirit was amply demonstrated when more than 300 runners and cyclists turned out to brave the wind, rain and mud at the Horton Trail. Former World of Sport presenter Dickie Davis also defied the elements to act as starter, as he has done at the three previous events. Despite the conditions, the trail raised a record £3,300 for All Saints Church, Horton. Although course records were not matched, the leading runner and course record holder in the 11 kilometres, Matthew King from King Somborne, completed the course with a smile on his face in 41 minutes 39 seconds.
Amanda has good reason to back midwives. Having battled through a traumatic birth of her own, Hampshire's Amanda Holden has spearheading a campaign to celebrate the vital work of midwives. The Britain's Got Talent star, who was left fighting for her life after giving birth to her second daughter, is calling on people to honour the role of those who deliver babies into the world. The International Day of the Midwife aims to raise awareness of the importance of midwives' work, and Amanda has given it her full backing. The 40-year-old actress, who grew up in Bishop's Waltham, has since made a full recovery despite being in intensive care in a critical condition for 3 days after the delivery of baby Holly.
Churches targeted by con man. Hampshire churches have been targeted by a con man claiming to need money to return home to Jersey. A number of churches in the Winchester area have been visited by the con man claiming that a parent has died and he must get home to identify the body. Other churches have been phoned by people claiming to be a retired hospital chaplain, also from Jersey. The fraudster is described as aged 40 to 50, about 5 foot 10 tall, with short dark hair and of slim build.
Strain to be eased for rail commuters. More Winchester rail commuters will be able to sit down on the daily trip to work to London. The government has announced 48 extra carriages and 2,400 extra seats on trains across the South West Trains region during the morning and evening peaks, starting in March 2014. There will be 6 lengthened mainline morning peak services from Winchester to Waterloo. Justine Greening, Secretary of State for Transport, said, "I'm determined to do what I can to improve the service, and this is great news for passengers. Adding extra carriages to these vital routes will mean more seats for passengers, easing congestion, but also helping to boost London's economy." Winchester and Chandler's Ford MP Steve Brine said, "This is extremely welcome news, which will be well received by hundreds of my constituents who've put up with unacceptable levels of overcrowding on certain peak time services for years. I am pleased the government has acted, but will now be following this up robustly to ascertain which services exactly will be improved and to try and speed things along, as 2014 is simply not fast enough."
Vandalism of the countryside. One minute the swathe of flowers were the uplifting symbols of spring. Then a tractor trundled down the quiet Hampshire lane and cut them down. Sarah Townley is furious that the verges along Vernon Hill near Bishop's Waltham have been cut, including on her own land. Bluebells, primroses, violets, daffodils and stitchwort have been decapitated by county council contractors. Miss Townley of Vernon Hill said, "I was horrified. It is vandalism of the countryside. That lane was full of bluebells. Lots of walkers go along that road and enjoy them. The flowers do not affect any sight lines. I accept some verges have to be cut, but not at this time of year. They should be done in the summer." Miss Townley said a manager from Hampshire Highways Department had assured her next year the lanes would be cut later.
Research project set to be launched. Winchester Cathedral is poised to launch a unique research project into the bones of Anglo-Saxon and medieval kings that have lain in wooden chests for more than 1,000 years. Informed sources have told the Hampshire Chronicle that church leaders are keen to study the remains of monarchs and bishops inside the mortuary chests, including a DNA analysis. The chests that sit atop stone screens by the presbytery hold the bones of around 12 people, reputed to include Canute of tide-defying fame, his son Hardacanute, Egbert, and possibly William Rufus, who was killed, perhaps murdered, near Minstead in the New Forest in 1100. The cathedral is believed to have applied for a grant from the Heritage Lottery Fund and sought permission from the Cathedral's Fabric Commission and English Heritage. Senior clerics considered the project to be highly sensitive, and a cathedral spokesman declined to discuss the project. The project has been in the pipeline for years. Dr. John Crooks, the cathedral's consultant archaeologist, first drew up a feasibility study more than 10 years ago. One reason for the sensitivity is because, although of obviously historical interest, the bones are the remains of people. The project would involve historians, archaeologists, DNA experts, other scientists, and art historians. The Heritage Lottery Fund was expected to make an announcement tomorrow, that's Friday. The project comes as the cathedral is proposing a radical reordering of the nave, with a proposal to move the font to a more central position close to the main entrance. There is also a growing need for more maintenance to stop the roof leaking, and a desire to better display the cathedral's treasures, such as the Winchester Bible. Cathedral managers are preparing to launch a major drive to raise as much as £12 million.
A government-backed scheme will put them on the road to employment. A charity drive to provide fun action for war-injured servicemen is bringing a hands-on work experience bonus and new work ethic for unemployed youngsters in South Hampshire. The modest Powerside Rides project building Volkswagen Beetle-based sandrail buggies at Swanmore is winning praise from both Hampshire Probation Trust and Job Centre Chiefs at Eastleigh and Fareham. Already the charitable trust, run by Mark Anglis and his wife Karen, has signed up first apprentice Joe Rollinson, aged 21, and now an open day has led to 8 eager youngsters being signed up for work experience under the government's new £1 billion youth contract. Through the youth contract, 18 to 24-year-olds will now receive extra support from Job Centre Plus to give them an edge in the labour market. They'll have greater opportunities to take part in things like voluntary work experience, sector-based work academies and apprenticeships.
Budding writers urged to enter conference competition. Winchester Writers' Conference, Festival and Book Fair returns to the city from June the 22nd to 29th. Alan Titchmarsh, a published novelist, will give the main address at the event, which attracts hundreds of aspiring authors. To help inspire budding writers, there will be workshops, lectures, competitions, panels and even a midnight read. The Hampshire Chronicle is again sponsoring a short story competition. The winner will receive a free weekend ticket to the conference valued at £340. The subject this year is The Last Laugh. Writers are urged to create a 1,000-word short story. The judge is Dr. Gary Farnell, a senior lecturer at the Faculty of Arts at the University of Winchester. Each entrant may submit up to 3 entries. All entries must be in English. Competitors should retain copies of their short stories. Entrants are asked to send their self-addressed stamped envelope for the return of their work. Dr. Farnell is looking for well-written, creative short stories. The deadline is the 11th of June, mailed or delivered to the Hampshire Chronicle offices in Upper Brook Street. Manuscripts can be word-processed, single or double-spaced, or handwritten neatly, be original and unpublished work, and must not have won any award in any previous competition.
Green Jacket's Tribute Bid. A campaign to remember soldiers at a former Winchester barracks is gaining momentum, say the organisers. Steve Barrett and Julie Ann Rosser have been leading the charge to create a memorial at the Peninsula Barracks to former members of the Royal Green Jackets. The pair were at the former barracks last week to speak to the building's management committee about their plans. Mr. Barrett, who is 56, from Nottingham, who trained at the barracks in the 1970s, said, "The residents are very happy for us to put in some memorial chairs and a heritage plaque. We wanted a quiet place for reflection and something that would bring a lasting tribute to the barracks and highlight the work of the regiment." Mrs. Rosser, widow of Ian, who served at the barracks in 1984, added, "It shows the people of Winchester want this, and there is a lot of heartfelt passion for the barracks. The talks could not have gone better, so we are very, very happy." Mrs. Rosser, who grew up in Romsey and now lives in Dover, said the total cost of the project is around £120,000, with the campaign raising funds for around a year, including winning £6,000 in a NatWest charity competition. A commemorative DVD has been released and is available from the campaign website, as are special green jacket badges, and you can visit memorial@peninsula.org for further information. And this piece is accompanied by a photograph of a huge metallic crest, which I think is going to be part of the memorial.
Iceland is one giant classroom for students. Standing on an ice cap atop an active volcano was an experience not to be forgotten for a group of Barton Peveril students on a trip to Iceland. The first year A-level geographers heard and felt earthquakes, scaled dormant volcanoes, climbed contrasting rock formations, and swam in a blue lagoon as part of their week in a unique living landscape. The really great thing about this trip is that the geology and geography teaches itself, because students are completely surrounded by it the whole time, said trip leader and head of geography Carolyn Avery. Iceland really is an amazing place that enriches everyone who pays it a visit. And there's a charming photograph of the ice cap, which looks like a lot of square pillars all leaning slightly to one side, and tucked in between the pillars all these very brightly clad students.
City to be transformed into a wonderland. Winchester will become Wonderland next week for the first in a series of street parties. St Thomas Street hosts a Mad Hatter's Tea Party this Saturday, that's May the 12th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. with a variety of family activities planned. The White Rabbit and other characters from Alice in Wonderland will be around to entertain children, while the Pottery Cafe is running a drop-in workshop to decorate crockery. Organised by Winchester Business Improvement District, the BID, the party will also have plenty of refreshments provided by Ginger 2 Cafe and spirited wines. Catherine Turnis, BID Projects Manager, said, "The BID is delighted to be able to expand the parties to include St Thomas's Street for the very first time. The quirky theme has made the party fun to organise, and I welcome residents and visitors alike to come and enjoy the festivities. St Thomas's Street will be closed to traffic on the day from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. from the High Street Junction to Ginger 2.
Crime doesn't pay for these criminals. Police take back ill-gotten gains. Police have clawed back £1.7 million from criminals in Hampshire in the past year, it has been revealed. Drug dealers and fraudsters are among more than 200 crooks who have been forced to hand over their ill-gotten gains. £25,000 was taken from one drug dealer, while a financial scammer who lived a lavish lifestyle of luxury holidays and had a box at a Premier League football club has had £12,000 confiscated from his bank account. For hundreds of Hampshire criminals, flash cars, expensive houses and luxurious lifestyles are a way of life until they get caught and sent to prison. But police in the county are ensuring that those who make a living from the misery of their victims are being hit where it hurts by taking back every penny they can. Using the proceeds of Crime Act, POCA, they have investigated the finances of 184 people who have benefited from their criminal ways and been granted powers by the courts to recover every penny available. The confiscation orders granted by a judge can force the sale of homes and luxurious items. A further 48 people were also made to hand over money, which police believed had either come from or was intended for illegal purposes. The forfeitures are made through civil proceedings rather than criminal, with police having to prove only on the balance of probability that the money had either come from or was about to be used in criminal activity.
A price to pay as rain stops play. Hampshire businesses are counting the cost of the wettest April on record. Attractions and garden centres lost between a third and half of all their trade as tourists, shoppers and gardeners stayed dry indoors. The relentless downpours are thought to have cost the local economy tens of thousands of pounds. It comes as the Met Office forecasts wet weather for May, and the Environment Agency warns of flash flooding. Hillier's Garden Centres, which has outlets across Hampshire, said trade was down 50% as the weather was too bad for even the hardiest of gardeners. Operations manager Mark Pittman said, "We've had some pretty extreme weather and that put people off going into their gardens or driving out to us." Julian Winfield, chief executive of Haskins Garden Centre, said, "April was a washout for horticultural product sales. We've gone from having the best April last year to the worst this year." The centres are hoping to recoup lost profits in May and into June, particularly the Diamond Jubilee Bank holidays. It might be the wettest April on record, but experts are seeing normal patterns of behaviour in Hampshire wildlife. The RSPB says Hampshire residents should look out for nest building, singing and displaying by birds signalling an arrival of spring. It added that the first chicks were now beginning to hatch. Birds such as wrens, robins, magpies and blackbirds are likely to be nesting now, as many of them have more than one set of young each year. Other species, which have also been seen or heard over the last few weeks in the countryside, include blackcaps, chiffchaffs, cuckoos and nightingales. However, the RSPB said migratory birds, such as swallows and house martins, are only just arriving.
Scenic backdrop for New Garden Fair. Bishop's Waltham Garden Fair headed to Pastures New last weekend, being held for the first time in Durley. Having outgrown its previous home, the Bishop's Waltham Palace grounds, organisers took the decision to move it, and with the kind permission of owners Jamie and Caroline Balfour, it took place at Winters Hill Hall. The scenic estate, just outside Bishop's Waltham, dates back to at least 1420. More recently, the Hampshire Ambulance and Fire Services used it as a base during both World Wars before the Balfour family arrived. Sunday's fair featured more than 60 stallholders, ranging from rural crafts to hog roasts and ice cream sellers. The show also featured displays of birds of prey and a performance by Cuff Billet's New Europa Jazz Band. Around 2,500 people usually go to the annual event, which this year included the Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Barry Lipscomb. Proceeds are now being counted and will be donated to St John Ambulance.
Trinity Fundraiser. Two fundraising events are being held in aid of the Trinity Centre in Winchester. The first will be a meal in a private dining room at the Hotel du Vin in Southgate Street on Thursday, June the 14th. The charity plans to contact its supporters to offer them first refusal of the 30 places available for the event. The tickets will cost £75, and Hotel du Vin is donating the proceeds to the homeless charity. The second event, which is open to all, is a quiz night at Winchester Tennis and Squash Club. Tickets cost £15 per person, with space for 150 people, and a curry will be included. Hotel du Vin will also be donating a free dinner for four people as a raffle prize. Tickets are available from the reception of the tennis club in Berwick Road, or call the charity on 01962 842 827 if you wish for more details.
Dementia Care Home opened. A new care home for people with dementia is set to open in Winchester. St Catherine's View Nursing Home will tackle the growing demand for services for people with conditions such as Alzheimer's. The Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Barry Lipscomb, was due to officially open the home recently. The £8 million home, built by Colton Care on the site of the former Stanmore Hotel, has 56 ensuite bedrooms, plus themed activity rooms for reminiscence work, arts and crafts. Landscaped grounds designed specifically for dementia care include a wildlife hide, sensory gardens, an adult swing, and a bright red ornamental tractor, providing a prominent focal point. The home will employ 80 people, including mental health nurses and specialist carers. The opening of the home comes as the Alzheimer's Society estimates there are around 800,000 people in England living with dementia. The costs to society are estimated at £23 billion a year.
Future of chalk streams on agenda. Hampshire countryside campaigners will hear a talk about the future of the county's chalk streams. The annual general meeting of the Campaign to Protect Rural England's Hampshire County Group will take place on Thursday, May the 17th at 11 a.m. in Itchen Abbas Village Hall. Tom Davis, Executive Director of the Test and Itchen Association, will speak on southern chalk streams and Britain's rainforests. The meeting will also hear a review of the CPRE's year, including its work on national planning policy, wind turbines, food webs, and a look at future challenges. Further details, please ring CPRE Hampshire on 01962 779 185.
Putting Art in the Shop Window is the title of this group of photographs that we've got here, showing students from the Winchester School of Art. Students from the Winchester School of Art have put their wares in the shop window in an exhibition entitled Beyond These Limits. A group of 44 second-year students have been hosting the event in an empty shop in the Brooks Centre for the past 2 weeks. The exhibit gave them a chance to show off their work to the public outside of their university course. Lydia Keith, 27, who came up with the idea, said students do not usually get a chance to stage an exhibition until their third year. She said, "We thought it would be really great to do something outside the university and to be more ambitious and test ourselves to see how we get on. So far, it's gone really well, and we've had well over 200 people come to a private view, with hundreds more coming along since. Lydia of Bank Street in Bishopswaltham added, "Months and months of hard work has gone into this, and we are really pleased with the result. There's a lot of creativity in Winchester, but we don't always get to see it, so it's great to raise the profile of the artists." Fellow student Liz Andrews, who's 20, of Longfield Road, Winnell, said, "It's great exposure and experience, and one of the things it teaches you to do is to treat your work more professionally."
Claire brings a smile to sick children's lives. She spends her working life making sick children smile. Now, a Hampshire charity worker's achievements have been officially recognised with a place on a national happy list. Claire Floyd is a member of the play team at Naomi House's Children's Hospice near Winchester. It's on the Independent on Sundays happy list, a top 100 listing of people most deserving of recognition for making the country a more caring, happy place. The mother of four from Southampton was described as an innovator for her work to develop a computer mouse with an extendable arm and giant button. This allows disabled children and young people to operate a PC from their wheelchair or bed. She first came up with the idea while working at the charity, which helps life-limited children and their families. From this, national charity Lifelines helped develop Claire's idea into a real item. "It's fantastic to have been recognised by the Independent," says Claire, a Saints fan from Sholing. "When I created the arm, I just wanted to make life a little easier and more enjoyable for the youngsters we care for. I had no idea it would prove so popular, and I certainly didn't expect it to be so high profile."
Card shop chain on brink of collapse. A Winchester High Street shop was teetering on the edge of financial collapse yesterday, that's Wednesday. As the Chronicle went to press, reports were circulating that Clinton Cards would be forced into administration. Staff at the Winchester branch, one of 16 stores in Hampshire, declined to comment on the situation. The retailer, which operates 628 Clintons and 139 Birthdays stores, has requested that its shares be suspended on the London Stock Exchange. The move comes after its banks, Barclays and taxpayer-backed Royal Bank of Scotland, sold the company's 35 million of loans to its biggest supplier, American Greetings. But whereas the banks waived certain loan conditions, American Greetings said it would push the company into administration yesterday. Clinton Cards reported a loss of 3.6 million in 6 months to 29th of January, 29, after making a profit of 11.7 million on the same period a year ago.
New Homes Exhibition. A former animal testing site near Winchester is set to be redeveloped into private retirement homes. Developers McCarthy and Stone is proposing to build 32 one- and two-bedroom apartments at Wickham Laboratories in Winchester Road, Wickham. The firm has already received planning permission, but is keen to receive feedback from the local community and is displaying its items and plans for residents at a public exhibition in Wickham Community Centre next Thursday, May the 17th. It hopes the development will allow older people to stay closer to their families. A spokesman for McCarthy and Stone said, "It is McCarthy and Stone's aim to transform the current appearance of the existing site with a sensitive development, which will feature a high-quality, traditional design that is sympathetic to the character of the conservation area. The exhibition runs between 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. For more details or inquiries, you can call 0800 298 7040, or you can visit the consultation online, co.uk Wickham. Thank you.
Award for Student Bar. Winchester Students' Union Bar, The Vault, has won the Best Bar None Awards for 2012. The awards recognise students' unions that promote safe drinking and student safety. Student Union President Seb Meal said, "The award is testament to the amazing bar and events management team that I have the privilege to work with. Here at Winchester, we pride ourselves on ensuring that student safety and welfare remains at the top of our agenda, and to provide a service where students are not only guaranteed to have the best night out in Winchester, but also in a safe and secure venue."
Russian Ensemble perform. The Lyra Choral Ensemble from Russia will be making an appearance at St John's Church in St John Street, Winchester, next Tuesday, that's May the 15th. The group, led by award-winning chamber music conductor Audrey Sazaev, will perform a mixture of Russian folk and sacred songs. Tickets cost £15 from the Theatre Royal box office on 01962 866 164, and any spare tickets will be sold on the door.
Allen's Boost for Cathedral. Winchester Cathedral Trust will be boosted by Alan Titchmaster's presidency of the New Forest Agricultural Show. The TV presenter has chosen the Trust to benefit from the funds raised at the annual show held every summer near Brockenhurst. This year, it will run from July the 24th to the 26th. Last year, the show society raised £5,170 for the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance.
Pay deal for council's low-paid workers. A fund of £35,000 will be used to cushion the blow of pay freezes for the lowest-paid council workers in Winchester. There is a national wage freeze in local government, cabinet members at Winchester City Council heard. However, they were worried that having no increase would hit lower paid workers much harder than higher paid ones. As a result, the councillors agreed a one-off deal with the unions, pending next year's national pay talks for council wages. The lowest paid workers will receive a £250 pro rata top-up payment, and it will be available to more than 150 staff.
Farm Trainer Award for Victoria. Stockbridge and District Young Farmers Club member and former club chairman Victoria Brown was awarded the National Federation of Young Farmers Top Trainer Award 2011 at the annual meeting in Torquay, Devon. Victoria was presented with the award by Countryfile television presenter Matt Baker, who is also the National Young Farmers President.
The new Worthy Park Tennis Club has been opened by the Mayor of Winchester. Councillor Barry Lipscomb was also joined at the launch by the city's MP Steve Brine, both pictured in a photograph here. The two all-weather courts are in the grounds of Princess Mead School at Worthy Park House on the outskirts of Kingsworthy. The school's head teacher, Penelope Kirk, was also present at the opening ceremony. The courts will be run by the club committee, led by Eric Hahn. The club itself already has more than 100 adult and junior members. More details about the group are available at worthyparktennis.com.
Computers for Beginners courses. Age Concern Hampshire is running computer awareness courses for absolute beginners and for those who wish to develop their skills. They're being held at Winnall Community Centre, Garbit Road, on Mondays and Wednesdays between 10 and 1 in the morning. Well, 10 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock. And the Carroll Centre, Summers Close, Stanmore, on Wednesdays between 10 in the morning and 1. There are still a few places left, and if you're interested, you can ring 0800 328 7154.
That concludes our extracts for this week. Thank you to our editors, David and Janet Farthing. Thank you to our copying and dispatch and studio preparation teams. And very great thanks to our readers, Michael Wyard.
Goodbye.
Deborah Cranmer.
Goodbye.
And Peter Lydiard.
Goodbye.
And from me, Tom Williams, goodbye, and do enjoy the week ahead. Please post your memory sticks back as soon as possible in the yellow wallet, and when you put your label into the wallet, please try to ensure that the cord attached to the memory stick is fully inside. Thank you.